T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Things that make you go,
Like what some people were thinking. Did you see this? I love stories like this because they make me feel like an awesome mom. I mean, comparatively. It's mom in Illinois. You know, there's a fine line, really, between being a great mom and doing something fun for the kids and this. Whew. Jennifer Yeager, 49-year-old mom from Dixon, Illinois. Earlier this week, she and her two daughters drove to a friend's house out to blow up their inflatable pool. But when it was time to take it home, Jennifer's plan to keep it secure on the roof of her car was, are you ready for this? Having her daughters sit inside of it. Somebody spotted Jennifer driving with the two kids sitting in the pool on top of the car. You got to see the picture of this. And called the cops. They pulled Jennifer over. She was arrested on 2 counts of child endangerment. Looks like she's about to cry in the photo. Oh, so what'd you get? Okay, 2 counts of child endangerment, 2 counts of reckless conduct, and 1 count of failure to secure a passenger between the ages of 8 and 16. Thank God the kids are okay. You know, I look at this and all I think is, how's she going to explain this to her husband? I used to think explaining stuff to my father was bad. When I was out of, I love my dad, you understand, but when I was out of the house, there's a certain freedom there of not having to justify anything. And that doesn't last long till you get a husband. Oh, Weave. 800-347-1063. Text line 71307. Things that make me go, It has been a big controversy. If you are a viewer, a reader of NBC and CBS, I cannot believe that Mitch McConnell would dare oppose appropriations on account of the Republican Senate leader had great-great-grandparents who owned slaves. So he ought to be, you know, he ought to be appropriately apologetic, feel bad. I don't know, whatever you're supposed to do. Anyway, they've gone on and on. They've been outraged by his response when asked about it. Did you hear this? I should have played this yesterday. So I'm a day behind. I never am a day behind, so I apologize. This is Mitch McConnell. He's asked, well, you know, your great-great-grandparents owned slaves. What do you say about that? Here's what he said.
Were you aware that your great-great-grandfathers were slave owners in Alabama before the Civil War? And has that revelation caused you to change your position on reparations?
You know, I find myself once again in the same position as President Obama. We both oppose reparations, and we both are the descendants of slaveholders.
Yeah, that's Obama, so it doesn't count. There's a tremendous amount of attention being given to this because the left is outraged that McConnell would just, you know, brush this off. He didn't have any feeling, didn't apologize, didn't, you know, say anything to stipulate he felt bad. It's terrible. Well, what they're not covering is this. You know who else's ancestors owned slaves? Good gosh, look here. It was Horizontal Harris. Kamala Horizontal Harris. Just a reference to her many talents when I call her horizontal. What? It's how she launched her career. Ask the mayor. He was the one sleeping with her. Anyway, the father of Kamala Harris detailed how their ancestors owned slaves. An inconvenient part of her history, as she has spent much of her campaign focusing on race politics. Yeah, see, she had an Irish ancestor who ran an entire Jamaican plantation with a ton of slaves. You see NBC focusing on that? Upset at Kamala for not being more appropriately apologetic? Oh, heck no. Which means the only fault here is that Mitch is white. You're black, part black. Get away with whatever you want, with whatever you want.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Joining me now is a familiar face to many watchers of Fox News, Dana Perino. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. I cannot believe the 8th anniversary of the 5. You are celebrating.
I know.
That went
fast. Who would have thought?
I know. Well, so tell me about that.
Well, you know, the show was supposed to be temporary and only last 6 weeks, about 8 years ago. And I think it was the second week into it, my husband, who's British-born but American citizen now, he said, oh, that's going to be a hit. And I thought, oh, how can you tell that? But he had a sense, and he was right. And Peter and I moved to New York, which I never thought I'd do. And it's really grown on me. But the show has become part of daily life for so many of our fans. We've been number one in our time slots every day since the beginning. And we've gone through lots of changes and challenges and 3 elections. And it just keeps getting better. So we're pretty happy.
Tell me about you worked. You used to be the press secretary for George W. Bush. You actually made it over a year, mm-hmm. which is awesome for a press secretary, from September 14th of 2007 to January 20, 2009. I mean, under extreme hostility and constant sniper fire from the media, they always give a much harder time to Republican press secretaries than they do the Democrat mm-hmm. ones. Tell me about that. Has it gotten worse?
Well, I was actually with the Bush administration from right after 9/11 until the end, and I'd been in the press office with, of course, many people will remember the late Tony Snow. I was his deputy and took over for him after he had gone. And I will tell you, it was the honor of a lifetime. Looking back, of course, you know, looking back, you think, oh, that was so amazing. And it was amazing. I loved every bit of it. And I'm so grateful that President Bush gave me that opportunity. And I'm still friends with so many people from that time in my life. And then I made the transition to television, and especially to The 5. It was really interesting to have gone from speaking on behalf of somebody else for so many years, then to expressing my own opinions. And my colleagues on The 5, especially Greg Gutfeld, he would tease me, and it opened me up a little bit so that I could have a more fulsome experience, I think. I would describe it on The 5. And we are the number one DVR'd show on all of Fox News Channel, and we're just very grateful for all the people that have watched us all these years.
You are listening to Dana Perino. She is here with us today celebrating the 8th anniversary of The 5. Dana, you've watched the media climate change drastically, I think, and quickly. Could you talk to us about the climate today versus like back in 2007 when you were the press secretary for George W. Bush?
Sure. Sure. I think a couple of things have happened. One, the decline of local news, right? The places that don't have a local newspaper and people then going and getting news mostly nationally. That happened. The second thing I would say is that if you think about the day that I left the White House, which was January 20th, 2009, I didn't even have a Twitter account. I didn't think it was necessary. What was that thing? I didn't have time for that. And social media really took off after I was press secretary. That's changed a lot of things. A lot for the better in some ways. I don't think it's all negative, because now people have lots of different ways to express themselves, share information, get information. I believe I'm a much more well-rounded news consumer because of it. And there's going to be these pushes and pulls as to people feeling like things aren't fair, et cetera. But overall, I think it's been a net plus.
Let's know, you guys get pretty riled up on The Five, and that's the fun of watching it, that it's news. It is. It's news and commentary at the same time. You know, especially when Juan Williams is there, man. It's going to be a slugfest. It's news and commentary at the same time. You don't have to wait for the commentary. What gets you? You're pretty unflappable, Dana Perino, among members of The Five, I would say. But what gets you riled up, man? What is the issue or the thing going on right now that just sticks in your craw?
You're right. I am pretty measured, and I think part of that is that I just rely on my faith a lot, that there's a higher power here that's in charge, and I'm just so grateful that I get a chance to be on this show. You know, when I was press secretary, things I said really mattered. Like, you could start a war from the podium. And now I just remember that nothing I will do for the rest of my life will ever be as hard or as important as what I did as press secretary. So what I do now is I have a chance to observe. And also, I think because I was there working in Washington for so many years, that I know that things ebb and flow, things go in cycles. I believe in that America is a force for good in the world. And so I take a little bit of opportunity to never let them see me sweat. That was my motto at the press briefing. But I think if I were to say things that really get me upset is when people who deserve better are being treated badly. Like, I don't like bullying. I feel terrible for people that are in a situation where they feel like they can't get up out of it, or if they're being oppressed. And I don't mean that even from an international perspective, but I truly believe in the power of freedom, and that God has given us the desire and the want to be free, and that America should help people achieve that.
Well, I mean, you're talking about bullying. We just saw this precious little girl, the AOC Mini-Me, 8 years old.
I know.
Bullied
by... It goes both ways, right? Like,
yeah.
Republicans will say you shouldn't use children to advance your political ideals, right? If you think about, remember those kids that accosted Senator Dianne Feinstein at the airport last year? And that's true. I don't think that children should be used. And then you had Mini AOC, and that's kind of funny for a lot of people. And then her family gets death threats. So should the same thing be true, right? Should children not be used? I think that family was having fun with it, but unfortunately that's going to probably have to go by the wayside because they want to protect themselves.
Yeah, it's a shame that an 8-year-old can't speak in America without fear of death or death threats. We're talking to Dana Perino, co-host of The Five. She's here celebrating their 8th anniversary. Now, I got to ask you about this. President Trump lately has been throwing some shade toward Fox News, even going so far as complaining that Fox is now worse than watching CNN and MSNBC. Now, I watch all three. I don't think it's that bad. Has anything changed at Fox? Is Trump right? Have you moved more to the middle? What would you say to that?
I would say he's going to say what he's going to say. He might have seen something, that one particular story he didn't like, but it is a news channel. And you can find all sorts of information there and lots of different people expressing their opinions at any time of the day. And I love being a part of Fox News.
Speaking of Fox News, Fox News has consistently dominated, in the ratings nationally, and sometimes, you know, beating out other cable news channels in certain time slots combined. Why? What is special about Fox? Why is Fox able to do that?
Well, there's been a little bit of a special sauce from the beginning for Fox News when it started in the mid-90s. For The Five in particular, we've been number one in our time slot since we started. We have such loyal fans. You don't want to miss it. I think it's because our production is very good. You get to know the people. Like, people really think that they know their anchors. They know Martha McCallum. They know Brett Baer. They get to know us personally, and it's not so impersonal, and I think people like that. And also, this is a center-right country, and if given an option to hear another viewpoint, people will take it, and I think they're grateful for it. And I also think that on The Five in particular, we have a lot of laughs. Like, we don't take ourselves too seriously. We're willing to tease each other and be self-deprecating. One of the things I love is that I learned about this family. The mom and the kids live in Virginia. The grandmother lives in California. And every day when The Five comes on, they Skype the grandmother and they watch The Five all together.
Oh, that's great.
Now, that's a lot of dedication.
One thing Fox News, we're talking to Dana Perino of The Five, has taken some criticism for is hiring Donna Brazile. You've probably seen the criticism.
I love Donna Brazile.
She's been a Democrat operative, but she's, you know, also passed some questions on some places, done some unethical things in the past. You like Donna. Tell us about that controversy.
Donna Brazile was one of the only Democrats and Black Americans who came to the White House after Katrina and said, I want to help this president. And do you know how much crap she took from the Democrats for being willing to work to try to help rebuild New Orleans? But she was right. And she's been a public servant for a long time, and she's been a very good friend to me. And I will never let politics get in the way of my friendship with somebody, ever. And she's really good television. She's got a lot of things to say, and she's been so great for Fox News. She came with us to Nashville, and we sang our John Rich song, and it went to number one within 2 hours, and all those proceeds went to Folds of Honor. So I'm glad that our CEO, Suzanne Scott, has great vision, and she has a nose for talent. And so hiring Donna Brazile for us, I think, was a real net plus.
We're talking to Dana Perino. Dana, what do you see ahead for this 2020 election? It's probably going to be the highest dollar, most raucous, probably most offensive election we've ever had in the country. What's on your mind about that?
Well, each one gets more and more like that. So Chances are that you're right. They'll probably spend $1 billion each, the Republicans and the Democrats, in this election. But it's high stakes. We are the most important country in the world. Whoever is president is the leader of the free world, and the stakes are very high. But I will also say this. I've been around this a long time. I was there for the 2004 re-election. I remember when Barack Obama won re-election. Incumbent presidents have a huge advantage, especially if you add a great economy on top of that. It doesn't mean it's going to be something that President Trump doesn't have to fight for, but he's in really good position to win re-election.
Yep, it's going to be fascinating to watch. And, of course, we will be watching you, Dana Perino, as always, on The Five. Congratulations on 8 years in the number one time slot.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Hope you'll be back again. Dana Perino, thanks for joining us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I tell you what, folks, you got to be vigilant as a parent. You really do. Did you see this? Well, you know, before I read this, I had a conversation with one of our listeners who's a soccer coach. So I don't know. It's like been a maybe. Gosh, it's been a year now. And he coaches soccer local. And he said he was amazed when he started coaching soccer how many parents would just drive up, leave their elementary school kids off with him and leave. I mean, they'd come back and get him after practice. They weren't there. He's like, wow, you don't know me. I couldn't believe they did that. They just assume it's okay. And I've never made that assumption with my kids. And I get complaints with my kids. They've never been left with anyone who isn't family. It's never happened. And they've missed, actually, it's been this week. They've missed drive up and drop off events that they really wanted to go to. We don't do those in our family. We don't. And I think that's because of my, you know, years as a crime reporter and the year that I spent with sex offenders in their counseling sessions. Coming to know them really opened my eyes to a lot of stuff. I do not look at the world the way that other people do. The thing that scared me the most about getting to know those sex offenders, I still hear from some of them. As closely as I did, there was part of the thing that they were dealing with in their counseling, which was court ordered. They wouldn't be there otherwise. Was resentment that they'd been busted. Because they said, there are so many more of us who never get caught or who haven't. I had the bad luck to get caught. It's not fair. I know so many other people doing this. I know people in chat rooms. I know people personally. It's a very connected community, the sex offender community. And part of their resentment that they had to deal with, as ridiculous as this sounds, is that they got caught. When so many other people, in their opinion, were doing the same thing. Well, look what's going on in our schools, folks. This is a lesson to you. A 14-year-old eighth grader sexually abused by the now convicted Megan Colleen Doherty, eighth grader, Hillcrest Middle School, abused continually by this woman from 2014 to 2016. It's a female teacher, Megan Colleen Doherty. The child is now suing the school system, seeking unspecified damages for medical expenses and severe emotional distress. I'm sure she does have severe emotional distress. Doherty, who's nuts, was arrested by Simpsonville police in 2015, charged with criminal sexual conduct of a minor. There's a point I'm getting to here. According to the school district, Doherty resigned on March 26, 2015, when the principal confronted her about the sexual abuse of the female students, a lesbian relationship, I guess. Doherty was 36 at the time. The girl was 14. What is the Greenville school system's position in this lawsuit? Not our fault. Don't blame us. The victim is suing the school, saying that the school should have had enough knowledge of Doherty that she says the district failed to properly investigate Doherty when she was hired. Now, the district says not true, that any alleged injury sustained by the victim was due to the intervening, independent, and intentional criminal act of a third person, the teacher. Okay, so let me translate this for you. School system's like, ain't our fault. Man, she did it. She did the sex abuse. Don't look at us. And that's what you're going to get as a parent. That's what you're going to get. You're on your own. You're on your own. And this is why, I mean, my kids and I have had this conversation just recently as this week. No, we are not leaving you anywhere. I know everyone else got left there. She's not going to be you. This teacher was not just the gym teacher. She was also the volleyball coach. Nice, right? I'm telling you, even when your kids get to be 12, 13, 14, you can't leave them places. And by that, I mean at practice. You can't. These people are everywhere. And they don't come in the packages you would expect. This is an attractive teacher. She doesn't look creepy. And all you're going to get from the school system afterward is, oh, well, sorry. We did everything we could. Doherty taught physical education. She's a PE teacher, coached girls volleyball, soccer, and intramural sports. I wonder how many other victims are out there, according to the district. The victim, who is heroic here, her name's Kaya Brewster. And normally we don't name victims, but she wants to be named. She has used her name in the lawsuit on purpose when she could have hidden it because she says that she wanted to disclose her name so it won't be anonymous. Doherty was charged with second-degree criminal sexual conduct with a minor in the March 2015 case. Now, listen to how nuts this woman is, okay? They're out there, folks. Well, out on bond, the eighth-grade PE teacher, still so obsessed with her 14-year-old victim. She was 36 again. Authorities say Doherty sexually assaulted the same victim again while out on bond for assaulting her the first time. Sexually assaulted her at a home in Greer. Doherty was charged again with two additional counts of second-degree criminal sexual conduct. She can't stay away from her. Two counts of second-degree criminal sexual conduct involving a minor and intimidation of a court witness. Nice. Folks, and I'm telling you, you look at her, she looks just as sweet as can be. She's pretty. I'm telling you, they'll fool you. They will. That was the most powerful thing I learned in the year I spent with sex offenders. I actually found a psychiatrist who was willing to let me, I had to get the permission of every sex offender in his counseling group, to sit in on their counseling. And the purpose of it was for the public to understand them, and they are nothing like what you think. They're nothing like what you think. There's some of them that are creepy. You figure, I'll get the vibe. No, you won't. No, you won't. When you are a sex offender, you develop a set of social skills that is above and beyond what the normal person has in order to get close to your victims, to fool people, namely their parents. Some of those sex offenders were so charming, and they worked everywhere. They were at banks, business owners. One of them was wealthy. His family had owned a string of car dealerships. We went to the country club after his session. He'd abused a lot of the young girls in his family. So, folks, I mean, I'm telling you, as parents, just doing this as a parent, don't judge by the package. In fact, it was so bad that I got to know these guys so well, and I sat in with the male sex offenders, that I actually developed relationships with them and didn't realize I'd gotten too close to my subjects for a reporter. when I turned in the first draft of my article, my editor said, rewrite this. I said, why? He's a liberal, by the way. He said, you're going to get a lot of flack. It sounds too sympathetic. Sympathetic? I hate these guys. And I hate what they did. He said, go read your work. And they had. They'd gotten to me. That's how, and I had to go back and rewrite it with a harsher tone. They are really good at what they do. You're gonna you think, oh, he's the creep in the overcoat in the bushes. No. He's the charming one, the good looking one, the one all the kids love, the one all the parents love. That's who they are. Savannah in Greenville is on the line. I want to jump on you real quick. I know this is, we've got to do this quick, but hey, Savannah.
Hey, Sarah. I just wanted to call in regards to the sex offender that you're talking about. She was actually a former coach of mine, and not only that, but my Ari was a classmate of mine, and when I tell you, she has been such an inspiration in that she is so strong. She doesn't allow what happened to her to define her as who she is. And all I wanted to really contribute here this morning, I call in pretty regularly, but the school district was warned repeatedly, not only by me and my family. I actually quit the team because I was a player for her under the soccer team. And she repeatedly made advances towards not only other victims, but I know for a fact that she asked one of my teammates to babysit her children, but she would never go out. She would stay in the home. She would ask her to come over on school break just to hang out. It's just the entire operation that she was trying to run was completely inappropriate, as we've seen as she is convicted. And Ari's doing exactly what she should do. She told the school district and those, I mean, Philip Davey was the assistant superintendent. He was warned by my dad, and they did nothing. They chose to do nothing.
Okay, and I have to say, because I can't substantiate what you're saying, Savannah, that that we don't know this to be the case. We just have to say that for legal reasons. We don't know any of what you're saying to be the case. But I'm glad that you have called in. I'm just curious, because I've dealt with sex offenders in the past. This coach you interacted with, Doherty, was she charming? Did a lot of people like her? A lot of parents like her? A lot of parents trust her? I mean, it sounds like they did. They let their kids hang out with her unchaperoned.
Actually, and to your point early about parents being vigilant, she actually made several very offensive comments, not only to me and my heritage. My dad, he shares German upbringing, my mom Jewish, and she asked me if my parents met in the concentration camp, Sarah.
Wow. Again, to your point though, Savannah, you're saying that the school district was warned about these, I guess, inappropriate relationships, but didn't take any action.
Yes. And there are documented, in emails back and forth from my father to the school district warning repeatedly before any of this, assault ever took place.
Savannah, would you stay on the line? Because I absolutely would love to get a copy of those. I would love to read them. I want to get in touch with you, okay? So producer Chris is going to get your information. Hang on. I got to end the segment here because we are way over. Thank you, Savannah, for your phone call.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I've been telling you about this. We documented last week. This is really terrifying what's beginning to happen with Lawfare. Did you see this? I documented last week. I played the audio for you. The Attorney General of New York, who was just elected last year, before she took office, ran on promises that she would sue and harass Trump. She would use the Attorney General's office to sue and harass Trump. That is not what law enforcement agencies are intended for. But this is what the Democrats are beginning to do, to campaign on. If you let me win whatever seat, I'm going to use the full force of law enforcement in the United States of America to harass people I disagree with. That used to be a thing of shame. Well, it's illegal on its face without some sort of criminal proof. Yet it's happening. The Attorney General of New York bragged that Donald Trump is going to know her name and she's going to make his life miserable. She's going to sue him and laughed about it on camera. This was before she took office and had never received a single criminal referral on him. Well, Elizabeth Warren just did it. Folks, this is becoming normal. What they did at the IRS, Lois Lerner? Here's what Warren tweeted, bragging. I called for an investigation into Elliot Brody's actions surrounding President Trump's inauguration last year. He's a Trump donor. And she asked her friends and the deep state to investigate him. She didn't like him. And they did. A grand jury is now probing him. Folks, this is what they do in authoritarian regimes.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.